One of the biggest problems facing senior business leaders, CEOs, individuals, founders, everybody, is how to build and sustain excellence. One of the most difficult things to do is be able to recruit talent and keep talent. The model that is going to help you as a leader or you as an individual be able to sustain excellence.
Hello, hello, and welcome to or welcome back to the Raise Your Game Show. I'm your host, Alan Stein Jr., and thanks for tuning in to Season 12. This season will be focused on sustaining both individual and organizational excellence. More specifically, what it takes for you to manage stress, avoid stagnation, and beat burnout. Which, not coincidentally, is the theme of my new book, Sustain Your Game, which is currently available at your favorite book retailer, or you can visit sustainyourgamebook.com for a sneak peek, sample content, and a series of bulk order bonuses and bundles. Once again, that's sustainyourgamebook.com. In addition to it being available as a hardcover and as an ebook for your Kindle, it is also available as an audiobook, which notably offers you an incredibly unique listening experience, as we've enriched my narration with music and have included over 20 minutes of exclusive content that is not found in the physical book. A virtual Q&A with me and Reese Davis of ESPN, which can only be accessed through the audiobook. You can download it now from Audible or wherever you purchase your audiobooks and immediately start to sustain your game. If you decide to go the audiobook route, I feel compelled to warn you. My smooth and sexy voice is intoxicating. So please be very careful if listening while driving.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
At an event in beautiful Utah, I had the opportunity to meet Larry Yatch, a veteran Navy SEAL who once worked in the Middle East. After a decade with the SEALs, an injury led to his early retirement, and he now works as a leadership consultant. Larry and I spoke to the same audience, and he had so many valuable lessons from his time in the field with the highest stakes possible. One point he shared that really stuck out to me was how aligned SEAL members needed to be with each other. The planning they do must be down to the millimeter and millisecond, a kind of precision that most people can't conceive of. Larry said that success is fully dependent on your ability to coordinate action with other people. In the situations with the SEALs, it's literally life and death. Though the rest of us are not facing those same dangers, our success and failures are also aligned with how well we work within the context of our teams and our families. In today's day and age, it's easy to feel isolated at work. Depending on your situation, you might have limited interaction with colleagues, clients, superiors, and subordinates. You may communicate through email, talk through screens, and have lunch every day in front of your computer. All of this might be convenient, but it can also be uninspiring, lonely, and draining. The COVID-19 pandemic brought this issue to the forefront of most of our lives. The lockdown triggered a period where just about everyone had to work from home, but it also led to a larger discussion of what an office even is and what it should look like. I believe this period will prove to have a permanent impact on how and where people work. With the rise of video conferencing, collaborative documents, open source computing, and the work from home culture, millions of workers across the United States now view themselves as independent satellites operating on their own. I believe this culture of distance work is driving us further apart. It has happened socially as well. We might have more friends online, but how many actually are real friends? Sociologists found that we tend to view other people online as objects instead of human beings. This obviously hurts our ability to feel empathy and is a reason why online comments can be so cruel. We may be more connected in a social media sense, but are we connected to others on an emotional and spiritual level as well? Is shooting off an email to someone in your department as impactful as sitting down with them for 5 minutes in person? Don't we need that physical connection? When working alone, you may go an entire day without actually seeing another human being in person, missing out on the chance interactions that make today different from yesterday. Offices bring opportunities to be with close colleagues, but also to interact accidentally with people, grabbing coffee in the break room, getting out of your car in the parking lot, stopping to chat in the hallways, so-called functional inconveniences. Steve Jobs famously put all of the bathrooms for the entire Pixar company on the ground floor to encourage this kind of arbitrary collisions of people from different departments because he felt it encouraged creativity. Our interactions at work are not just a side effect of being in an office. They're a benefit. In a study of the 50 best places to work in the United States, there was only one feature that was shared by every organization in the top 50. Quality relationships. Across all industries, the things that make most people happy about their workplace is the connections with the people there. Think about your favorite jobs you've ever had. Weren't the people a big part of what made it so great? There's also evidence that these relationships help improve our job satisfaction and keep us engaged in our work, both of which improve performance. We shouldn't trade all of that away just because we can. With the world moving towards automation, digitization, and AI, connected relationships are more valuable now than they've ever been. So don't sell them short. Research shows that the dangers of lacking social connection are significant. They're actually comparable to the effects of cigarette smoking, high blood pressure, obesity, and lack of physical activity. Those who reported fewer social connections were more likely to die than their counterparts, and isolation has been tied to depression and anxiety, to sickness and weakened immune systems, to obesity, and to shorter lifespans. It's strange how friends and followers have become such a numbers game. Our worth is now measured by how many online connections we have, though outside of networking, I'm not sure how beneficial this really is. Your inner circle should remain manageably small, which allows for deeper and more meaningful connections with people that matter. There's only so much time and energy we have, and if we're spread too thin in our relationships, we're not really benefiting from any of them. It's like multitasking where you're doing so much that you're doing nothing. Are you friends online with 200 people, but actually friends with none? Smaller circles also allow you to more carefully cultivate who or what you're letting into your world. Just like you need to be very conscious of what you put in your body, you need to be equally careful of who you let into your inner circle. Keep in mind that each of these people also has an inner circle, which you will ultimately be connected, and all those people will have an inner circle and so on. The people in your life should also bring out and reinforce the best parts of you, the parts you're trying to cultivate and build and improve. If you feel like you're stagnating, maybe your social group or work colleagues are contributing to the inertia. It's vital that we form stronger connections with people who encourage the version of ourselves that we want to be. As my good friend James Clear put it, join a group or tribe where the desired behavior is normal behavior. Find a circle that challenges you because you're going to absorb and reflect the behavior of those you spend time with. You will do it purposefully, out of a desire to belong, and unconsciously, out of habit. From friends, we pick up patterns of speech, moods, beliefs, behaviors, and other friends. Think about the people outside your family whom you spend the most time with. What behaviors do they each bring out in you? Are these desirable or undesirable? Do they lead to the best version of yourself? Being intentional with these questions will ultimately allow you to be more diligent about whom you spend time with. One of the biggest benefits to being a part of a team is having a built-in accountability system. Surround yourself with trusted teammates who align with your vision, your mission, and your purpose. Your team can help you see your blind spots, hold you to a higher standard, and call you out when you fall short. These are people that care about you enough to tell you what you need to hear, even when it's not something you want to hear. Don't insulate yourself away from those who tell you the truth. Welcome them. Your friends and colleagues can reinforce the best version of you if you use them as accountability partners. If you're trying to develop a new positive habit, let them know about it. Respectfully enlist them in the process, a strategy that has been proven to work year after year. Offer to do the same for them. Remember, holding someone accountable is not something you do to them, it's something you do for them. Accountability is a form of love. It is essential that you protect your mental and emotional currency the same way you would protect your family and property. Put a fence around yourself and don't let anyone, who intentionally or not, pollutes you, endangers you, or weakens you. We are affected by those in our circle far more than we realize. If you find yourself stagnating, take an accounting of everyone in your life. Are these relationships a source of that stagnation? Can they be a help in breaking you out of a rut? Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for investing your time with me. I hope I helped you sustain your game. If you're open-minded and committed to investing in yourself or in your organization, please visit sustainyourgamebook.com. Your support means more to me than you know.